infinite, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
I just can't believe you're here on Gull Island.
But you're not sorry.
No.
I'd have traveled twice as far to hear that. You know I called the Wheelers early this morning when I was still on the road. Or didn't you know?
I knew.
When Mrs. Wheeler said you were out.
Well, I was going out.
Yeah, I heard the door slam over the phone. Why wouldn't you talk to me?
Oh, Tony, you know why. I thought it would be easier not to see you, not to talk to you.
Well, you know now it's not going to work that way.
It's got to work that way. Even your coming up here hasn't changed.
It's changed everything, Kate. When I came up that path and saw you, and you saw me, it was all clear. All either of us needed to know. And when I took you in my arms, you wanted to be there.
Honey, don't make this more difficult.
I could make it a lot more difficult. This is the first time we've been together away from everything, everybody. Nobody can tell us what we should or shouldn't do. We're alone, Kate. And we're in love. Say so.
Yes.
But then for God's sake, let's stop hiding.
Do you think I want to hide it? Do you think I want to go on living in my life this way, bound to the past, bound to other people?
You don't have to be.
No, nobody has to be. We could get into that speedboat of yours right now. Head for the open sea, somewhere out there in all that space. We could find a place to live. Just you and I. When nobody would find us, nobody would bother us. Would you go with me?
You have to live on something, Kate.
Why?
Oh, Kate, my romantic darling.
Oh, Tony, don't you see?
We love each other. We can at least have that.
And then what? You say I don't have to be bound to other people. Well, neither do you. But you are.
Honey, I have to make a living. I have to get a divorce.
Why? Why can't we just forget everything and just go?
Sometimes, Kate, I don't think I know you at all.
Oh, I don't think you do. Tony, you say you love me. You follow me up here. You tell me I love you.
You're not going to deny that.
Tony, I never met a man like you. When I'm with you, the world is different and wonderful.
I'm going to make it even more wonderful.
No, let me finish. When I'm with you, I'm somebody I've never been before.
So am I, my darling.
When I'm not, I'm just plain Kate Wakefield.
Oh, you'll never be plain Kate Wakefield again. You've come out of that shell.
What I'm trying to say is no matter how exciting it is to be with you, is that enough? Is that what love is?
What else could it be?
Something more, the ability to give things up for each other, to wait, to plan.
We're doing those things now, but why give up love? You want it, I want it.
Tony, one of the difficulties we have is that you tell me how I feel, what I think. I do want love. I've lived without it too long, but not what you're offering me now.
I'm offering you everything I can.
Right here in this house that I shared with my husband.
Anywhere.
And then, if something happened, that you and I never could have a life together, then what? One more casual affair for Tony Cushing?
That's cruel, Kate.
That's what it would be for me, too. Cruel. Cruel and cheap. Oh, maybe I don't fit into the world,
Kate,
today, but love for me is not something easy and casual, hidden.
Is that what you think I've asked you for?
No. No, Tony, it isn't, but don't you see it could become that way?
I don't think talk like this helps us. But, all right, I'll get my freedom first.
And I'll get mine.
Yours?
Tony, I told you I had something to tell you. We've been talking about ourselves. Come on, let's go on inside. The sun's gone.
Listen to those gulls.
Means the weather's going to change.
All right. What was it you wanted to tell me, Kate?
It's about Tom. This is the house we lived in together.
Yes, I know. During your happy years. Kate, you've driven in the knife. Are you twisting it now?
Oh, Tony, don't say that. I just want you to understand. Do you know why I came here to Gull Island after 3 years?
To avoid me.
No, Tony, no. I could do that in the city. If I could do it anywhere.
Oh, darling.
Tony, you knew Tom was a drug addict.
It's time you forgot that. I have.
But I have learned that he also committed crimes.
Is there any evidence?
Enough to create a scandal.
I mean hard evidence that a court could act on?
I don't know what that is, but there's enough to implicate me.
You?
That's what I mean by being free. Would you want to marry me, Tony? With that hanging over me.
Thanks, Joey, for walking me back to the Wheeler house.
It's okay, Trudy. You looked a little shook up.
Shook up? A mile in open water in that cockle shell of yours?
Cockle shell? Well, that's a neat little skiff. You ought to see her underway with the sail up.
Yeah, well, another time.
She heels right over. Neat. When are you leaving?
Oh, just as soon as Kate gets here.
Oh, I was going to take you out for a sail.
Well, I'll be back. When you folks have mopped up a little of that water.
What water?
Out there. The ocean?
You're very funny.
Well, it's all on the outside. Well, Joey, I sure wouldn't have missed knowing you.
Me neither. I'm just sorry about Kate.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it just would have been better if she hadn't come here at all.
Well, maybe it would. But you can't stop people from doing the things they feel they have to.
I knew her husband, Tom.
You did?
He taught me to sail. He was a great guy.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Nothing he didn't know about boats. And winds, and currents. He could sail anything, anywhere, Tom could.
I didn't know him, Joey.
You know something?
What? You going to be that kind of sailor?
I'll never be like Tom Wakefield. I'll never do what he did.
Oh?
The other kids can fool around with drugs. A lot of them do. But they wouldn't if they'd seen what I've seen.
What was that?
I was out sailing with Tom the day he died.
You were?
Yeah. It was a long time ago. I was just a kid. But I'll never forget, he was shaken, sort of.
He was ill?
No, he was just funny. He put me ashore. He said, I've got a date, Joey, I'll just make it. I'll never forget that, because afterwards they found his boat.
Did you ever tell Kate this?
No, I never wanted to tell anybody. But now I'm glad I did.
Sure. It's always the way, isn't it?
You gonna tell her?
Well, I don't know what good it would do. People ought to forget things, Joey.
Right.
Hmm.
Boy, look at that.
What is it?
It's the speedboat that guy went out in to see Kate.
Looks like a bunch of spray to me.
Look at her ride.
Hmm.
Boy, I'm going to go down to the dock. See her come in.
Yeah, well, all right. So long, Joey.
See you, Trudy.
Now. You didn't have to come back so soon, Kate.
Well, I wanted to. Are you all packed, Trudy?
Yeah, almost. Didn't you want to have lunch or something?
Oh, you and I can eat on the road.
No, I mean with Tony.
Well, he's catching a plane from Bangor.
Oh, Kate, did I mess things up for you? I mean, I thought you'd want to see him alone.
I did.
He's not what you really want, Kate, is he?
Oh, Trudy, he's all I want. But he's not what I can have.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day.
The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. Author Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by the Osedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Gentlemen, William Makepeace Thackeray here, and as you surely must know, author of Vanity Fair. It is my profoundest hope that your weekend was more satisfactory than mine. Recall, do you, Becky Sharp's deportment on Friday last?
You may tell Miss Crawley I'm not coming now or ever.
And Miss Spitfire Sharp is packing her trunk to return to Queen's Crawley. I spent the whole of the weekend trying without success to fathom, to the full extent of my plummet line, the character of that same Sharp. Deliberately, she has incurred the wrath of Miss Crawley. Now, do I hear you protest Miss Crawley herself behaved abominably? Well, even so, is not the old lady Becky's only gateway to wealth and station? Is that not Becky's goal in life, a dream? Well, then, what recklessness is this? Let her speak for herself. I cannot.
Miss Becky.
Oh, there you are, Giles.
Oh, Miss. Oh, you be patting.
Oh, she's playing Miss Briggs, told you.
She said, ow.
Have you been running down and up the stairs that you're so windy?
Oh, she said patting. She didn't say why.
Because we're returning to Queen's Crawley. Be about packing your own trunk.
But why be we going?
I don't want to stay here another minute, that's why. There's a stagecoach at 4. I mean us to be on it.
Miss Becky, will you in heaven's name please say why?
I'd as soon not talk of it, but I suppose I must or you'll be no use whatever. We're returning to the country because I'll no longer endure the ill treatment Miss Crawley accords me.
But you... London, Mr. Rawdon, 'tis all you wanted.
Wanted, still want. But I am not a carpet upon which Miss Crawley can tread back and forth till I am worn thin.
Miss Becky, now you listen
it's
to me.
It's no good arguing. You know me too well to entertain a doubt that I shall pursue this course, and no one can stop me. Have you heard what she said to me?
It don't matter what she said. You can't go.
I am not her slave, though she thinks I am. I am not in chains, though she'd like me to be. I can go and will. Pack.
I'll not.
What?
Oh, just plain you're out of your senses. I'll not pack, nor go, nor nothing you say. No, I'll not.
Oh, I've enough trouble without red-headed stubbornness from you. Do as I say and be quick about it.
Yes, Miss Crawley.
Oh, dear. I do sound like her Royal Highness. And you sound like me when I told her she treated me like a chimney sweep, and I'd go back to Sir Pitt, who has better manners.
Oh, to her you said that?
And marched out and started to pack. She sent Miss Briggs to fetch me. I sent back word I was not coming now or ever.
Oh, Miss Becky, you don't mean it. You can't.
Oh, can't I?
The prize you want, Mr. Rawdon, and to be rich, almost is yours, and you throw it away. Now, please, Miss Becky, you don't know what you're doing.
Dear Giles, I exactly know what I'm doing.
No, ma'am, you don't. And I have to take care of you. Now, I'll unpack you, and you'll go straight away into her and say you're sorry.
Shall I tell you what I'm doing?
You told me.
But what I'm doing isn't what I'm doing.
Oh, there now, see how fuddled you be? Doing, only not doing.
Precisely.
You see, out of your wits.
Poor Giles, if you'll but calm yourself, I'll ease you of the fever.
Well, I ain't her that's feverish. She's a doctor you need. I'll run and fetch him at... What did you say?
I said, or tried to say, I'd no more leave this house in London than I would jump off London Bridge.
But you are leaving.
Oh, Goosey, you're the one fuddled in the head. I thought you'd see straight through me, but you've not. I'm doing this, or pretending to do it, because that prize I've toiled and fought and crept and climbed for still is too far out of reach. I want it closer and sooner, want it within my grasp. Miss Crawley has to be made to discover how much she needs me, wants me, and yes, loves me. When she believes I'm truly lost to her, she'll realize all that and implore me to stay.
Oh, Miss Becky.
Well? Do you see how clever a plan it is?
No, ma'am, it ain't. It ain't. It will not work. Not by half, it'll not. You mark my word. You do this tomfoolery, and you're ruined.
Ah, my dear listeners, if you hold that Becky will pay the slightest heed to Giles' opinion, well, then you deceive yourself. I forbear to say my own opinion of it. Miss Sharp will do as she pleases. That is the one thing in this book you may depend upon.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Ocedar angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Ocedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Ocedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Ocedar makes your life easier.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Now, Giles, put on your cape, kerchief, mittens, and boots. You must look all ready to depart. Oh, stop sulking and do what I say.
I am doing what you say.
At last. Oh, Giles, I didn't tell you how all this began, did I?
You didn't. And I don't care to hear.
Well, you're going to hear. Miss Crawley accused me of keeping her in the house, keeping her sick. For if she were well, she'd have no more need of me. I'd be sent back to Queen's Crawley. I was so furious, I said I'd go back. And right then I meant it. Fancy her saying such an insulting thing to me.
Why should she not? 'Tis true.
True?
Well, mayhap not now, but 'twas true. At Queen's Crawley she was sick only from too much drink and food. Who was it, may I ask, had her leeched and cut to weaken her terrible, so she'd have need of a nurse, and that nurse you?
Oh, my goodness, it's true, I did.
So you've no call to be mad with her.
Oh, well, I'm not anymore. In truth, I'm grateful. It gave me this plan.
Oh, more's a pity.
Oh, stop it. I tell you, it's a good plan. Now, are you ready?
How could I be ready only with one boot on?
If I may quote Miss Crawley, I am tired of your sack.
She said that to you, did she? Well, all right, she might. I'll be boot on. Now what?
By great good fortune, my music box is in her room. You will go in and say, Miss Becky is ready to go, and she sends me for her music box. Miss Crawley will say, she's even not coming to say goodbye to me. No, you say. Wait, she may say. Why is Becky doing this, Giles?
And I'll say, of course she's addled in her head.
Oh, you'll say no such thing. You will say, she thinks she's not wanted here, Miss Crawley.
Then she'll certainly say, I must see her. She must come for the music box herself.
What if she don't say it?
She will, I'm certain.
If she don't?
Then take the music box and come back to me.
Then what, Miss Becky?
I don't know.
You see? You ain't certain.
Oh, dear, no, I'm not.
Oh, but we're bound to go through with it now. We ain't bound, no such thing. Now, take off your bonnet, go in, say you're sorry, you didn't mean it. You can't bear to leave her.
I won't. Now, it's worth the gamble. Go.
Miss Becky.
Go.
Miss Crawley, Miss Becky is ready to go, and she sends me for her music box.
Giles, did you mean to say, is it possible, after all I've done for her, I simply cannot believe. But Anthony,
you didn't ask.
Girl, don't you be sassy with me.
Oh, beg pardon, ma'am. I didn't mean to be.
Is Rebecca, in truth, quitting these premises?
Well, she's all packed and bonneted, and she sends me for her music box.
She does not even intend to say goodbye.
No, ma'am. She thinks she ain't wanted here.
Nor is she. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Take the foolish music box and go.
Becky, 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 alas, alas. Why have you so singular a propensity for ill-considered moves? What now will you do? I do not hear Miss Sharp answer. Well, perhaps tomorrow. And then again, perhaps not. You must take your chances, dear listeners. But one thing is not in doubt. I am your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what FinalNet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. FinalNet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of FinalNet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. FinalNet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Studio has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. The Author Studio has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Come in.
Oh, hi, Evie.
Hi.
Did you ask?
Hello, Evie. You look more now.
Oh, I am. I've been Christmas shopping all day, and I'm just dead.
I did some shopping today, too. Not much. I couldn't find one thing I really wanted.
Oh, I couldn't either, but I finally bought things anyway. Spent far more money than I ever intended to. Oh, I am so tired.
Sit down.
Oh, thanks.
Have a coffee and get out some cookies.
You aren't going to have any Christmas cookies left for Christmas.
That's what I told her, the way we've all been eating them. Oh, we can always make more. Coffee will be hot in a minute.
What are you making, Peg?
No, I'm just fixing some stuffed green peppers for dinner.
Oh, you know, I'm so tired I can't even think of getting dinner. I walked in the house and the kids are making Christmas decorations. Oh, you should see the dining room.
Oh, mess, I sure
have. Oh, I took one look at it and walked out. I'm getting so... I just hate Christmas.
Oh, you're just tired. Mm. Now, Maggie, do you want to wash the green peppers?
Yes, of course. Shall I cut them, too, and take out the seeds?
Yeah, what'd you think?
Mm-hmm. Right now, I hate my husband, too. Do you ever think of divorcing Bob?
No, I never have. Mm. Get Evie her coffee, Aunt Maggie, before she starts heading for Reno. What'd Fred do now?
Do you know what he's giving me for Christmas?
What?
A bowling ball.
Oh, come on, you don't bowl.
Well, he wants me to learn. Not only a bowling ball, but a bag to match.
Bag to match what?
The bowling ball.
Oh.
Or a carrying case or whatever you call it. Oh, I need a bowling ball like I need a hole in the head.
Or like a hole in the bowling ball.
That's pretty good, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, every now and then I get a good one.
Oh, I tell you, if I get a bowling ball for Christmas...
Oh, I think Fred was just teasing you.
No, he wasn't. He wants me to learn how to bowl.
Well, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, a really beautiful wristwatch. I've had this one for years and years. Oh, it's ugly and out of style. But never seems to need repair. Just goes on ticking and ticking and ticking.
Well, I'll hint to Fred that's what you'd like.
Oh, no, don't hint. Fred never catches on to hints. You have to come right out and say it.
All right, I'll come right out and say, Evie wants a new, really beautiful wristwatch for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And he'll say, why? The one she has works fine.
Well, we'll see. Honestly, we're talking so much, I don't know if I put everything in. It's the onions. Ground meat, grated cheese, tomato sauce, mushrooms, rice, salt, and pepper. Yes, I've got it.
And green peppers are all ready. Do you parboil them first?
No, I just stuff them. I bake them an hour at 350.
Let me stuff them. You sit and have some coffee, too.
Well, what about you?
I've had two cups, and you didn't want yours until you finished fixing the peppers, so
well,
sit down and rest.
Come on, Evie, cheer up. You're just tired from shopping.
You know, there are times when I really don't like Fred at all. And I'm married to him. There are times I can't even stand him.
Oh, look, I'm sure he will not give you a bowling ball for Christmas.
Oh, it isn't just that. Don't you ever feel that way about Bob?
No. Oh, I get furious at him because he's always turning on the TV to watch baseball or hockey or tennis, golf, everything, you know.
Oh, I know. Fred's the same way about that. I didn't mean big things like that. I mean, well... little things.
Mm-hmm. Such as, Aunt Maggie, I baked the peppers in that glass baking dish.
Yes, I see it.
On the bottom shelf right
there. Fred whistles.
Oh, Fred what?
He whistles. Through his teeth, under his breath, whatever you want to call it. Like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard him.
All the time.
Yeah.
When he's getting dressed, when he shaves, when he reads the paper, when he walks downstairs, when he walks upstairs, he whistles constantly.
Yeah.
And I'm getting... So that when I hear that whistling, I just want to... Oh, it's like...
Oh, well, not Evie. Everybody has a little peculiarity.
Oh, but really?
I don't see anything so terrible about that. Mm. He probably enjoys it. I like to sing when I'm doing things, and I don't think that bothers anybody, does it?
No. Oh, no, Aunt Maggie,
well,
of course not.
I'm glad Fred went out of town on business for a couple of days. He gives me a chance to miss him. That's the whole trouble. I do miss him. When he gets back from his business trips, I'm so glad to see him again. I forget how mad I get at him. But that constant whistling.
Yeah, awesome, I'm sure.
Am I being petty?
Oh, listen, you've got to really love somebody to live with him. As I said, I suppose we all have, you know, silly things we do that drive other people right up the wall.
Well, what does Bob do that annoys you? Some little thing.
Oh, I don't know. I can't think right offhand. He's always losing his car keys or his gloves. Can't get him out of bed in the morning. He leaves his pipes all over so tobacco spills on the table and on the floor. Oh, that doesn't make me really mad, though.
I know what Bob does that annoys you.
What?
We talked about it yesterday.
What was that?
The way he turns his plate around at the table.
Oh, yeah.
The way he does what?
Oh, isn't it so sweet? He wants his meat right in front of him at the bottom of the plate next to him. And if I don't set it down that way, he turns the plate so the meat is first. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
His meat's at 6 o'clock, as they they say in the Air Force.
Oh, I know what you mean. The meat is right in front of him.
Right, then he eats the meat, then his potatoes, then all his vegetables.
And he doesn't turn the plate
No. But I have to set the plate right down to begin with, or he turns it.
Oh,
I don't get mad, you know, but it really
It's really funny to watch him. I don't even think he knows he's doing it.
No, I don't either. Look, Evie, your Terry, stay and have dinner with us tonight. You'll see what I mean. Eat with us. We've got plenty.
Oh, I have to go home and get dinner for the kids.
Oh, let them fix some pizzas themselves. They love that.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I'll call home. I am tired, and it'll be good not to have to cook anything. Oh, I thought of something else Fred does. It just drives me wild.
I thought of something else Bob does, too. He'll have a glass of milk, and he never rinses out the glass. So the next morning...
Oh, I know what you mean.
Dried up milk.
Fred leaves the soap in the bathtub so it's all soggy and messy and gluey.
You can get the table while you're complaining. Or Bob will have a complaint of his own when he gets home. He wants his dinner practically the second he walks in the door.
Either that or I can't get into the table.
Sit down, Edie.
Okay.
Nice surprise to have you for dinner with us. Where'd Fred go on business?
Chicago.
Here's your plate, Maggie. Watch it now. And here's yours, dear.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
What's the matter? What's so funny? Okay, what's the joke, may I ask? Why you're all looking at me and laughing?
Yeah, I'm sorry, dear. I was explaining to Edie that if I didn't set your plate down with the meat in front of you, that you turn the plate so that it
you're
washed.
You're right, he does. Why do you do that, Bob?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I just always like it right here.
Tell her how you eat. All the meat first, then all your potatoes, and then all your vegetables.
Don't you ever switch off with a bite of something else?
Never.
No, he doesn't.
Never. It's true. I do eat that way, but I don't know why. Well, anyhow, look who's talking. You know what Peg does?
What do I do?
Peg has to come out even.
That's true, I do.
What do you mean, come out even?
I do.
Peg wants her food to come out even. Just as she's finishing her dinner, she wants one bite left of meat, one bite left of potatoes, one bite left of vegetables.
That's true.
And if she has miscalculated, she takes more potatoes or more meat to even that up.
Well, I never thought of it before, but I always eat all my vegetables first. I never cared much for them, so I figured I'd eat them first and get rid of them and then enjoy my dinner.
What are your eating habits, Edie?
Well, I don't think I have any special way of eating, but I know Fred just has a fit the way I put ketchup on my mashed potatoes.
Oh, honey. Ketchup on mashed potatoes, it's revolting.
Well, I guess so, but I make ketchup sandwiches and Fred just has a fit.
What in Sam Hill are ketchup sandwiches?
Just lots of ketchup between two slices of bread. Sometimes I mix ketchup with peanut butter. Fred nearly dies.
Oh, what a combination.
Oh, I guess so. Maybe I got some things about me that are peculiar.
I guess we all do.
Is my wife over here?
Oh, yeah, come on in. I thought you'd gone to Chicago, Fred.
Yeah. Well, the boss changed his mind. Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, I am so glad you didn't go. Oh, honey.
Hey. One of all these people?
Sit down, Fred. Aunt Maggie set a place for Fred, and I'll fix a plate for you. We have plenty.
Oh, thanks. Evie, did you see the mess our kids have made in the dining room over there?
Oh,
decorating Christmas balls, glue, and paste all over. They're ruining the dining room table.
Oh, children will be children.
Aunt Maggie set his place right here. Bob, pull up that other chair.
Oh,
Fred,
sure.
Can
I sit on the other side?
I guess so. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I forgot.
What?
That's another thing. Fred will never sit with his back to a door.
What's going on? What's so funny about that?
Relax, pal. Our wives have been Christmas shopping all day, and they're tired, and they're silly.
You know what their problem is? Women don't get enough exercise. I'm thinking of getting Evie a bowling ball for Christmas.
Hey, that's a great idea. Maybe I'll get Peg one, too.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. I'm Charles Woods. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Watch me, Jennifer. One, what is it you say? One, two, three, Larry.
My first name is Mary. Don't you think that I look cute in my little bathing suit?
That's good, Jennifer. Now, you bounce the ball.
All right.
And I'll say it in Spanish. Uno, dos, tres, Larry.
It doesn't work as well in Spanish.
Well, just try the bouncing, then.
I know what I want my hand to do, but it doesn't pay attention.
Don't worry, honey. It will.
Why doesn't it?
Well, when you were under the water all the time, some of the things you used to be able to do got a little rusty.
I think you made that up, too.
Yes, a little bit. Come on now, let's try it again. One, two, three, Leary.
Hello, Jennifer.
Grandma, hi.
Hi.
Did Grandpa come with you?
No, not today, but he sent you a big hug and a kiss.
I'm Dr. Gonzalez, and I imagine you're Mrs. Carter.
Oh, so you're Joe Gonzalez. I'm so happy to meet you.
Thank you, Mrs. Carter. Well, I'm sure Jennifer will have a lot to tell you, so I'll just go along.
I know what you did for us all, and, well, there are no words.
Oh, please, please. Then I say de nada, which means it's nothing in Spanish. Well, and I guess those aren't the right words either, are they?
No. No, you're right.
Well, I'll see you later, Jen. Aliri. And it's nice to have met you, Mrs. Carter.
Oh, thank you.
Goodbye, Joe.
Oh, do you call your doctor Joe?
Yes. We're very good friends, Grandma. After all, when someone saves your life...
Yes, darling, I understand. Well, how are you feeling now?
A little funny. I can't button my pajamas, which is ridiculous. And there are some things I can't remember.
Oh? What don't you remember?
I can't tell you what I don't remember, because I don't remember it.
Why, of course. How silly of me.
Oh, Joe told me you were here,
Emily.
Caroline.
Mm. Hello, dear. How are you? I'm fine, Emily.
Oh, that's good. Jen, darling, how are you? How are you doing? Joe said you were studying ball bouncing.
Oh, I need a little practice.
By the way, Charlie is home with us now.
Oh, he is?
Ah, now you remember him.
Of course. You mean I didn't for a little while?
What, just for a short time, dear?
It's getting very confusing. Now I remember something I didn't remember before. But I didn't know I'd forgotten it.
Patricia, I'll be in my office if anyone wants me.
All right, Doctor. Mrs. Carter is in Jennifer's room. I just saw her go in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How can I tell Emily? We can't go on with her not knowing. If Jennifer hadn't had the accident, she'd know by now. Maybe it's just as well, in a funny kind of way. We'll have one last Christmas. Oh, God. When I look at her, I can't believe she has a brain tumor.
Miss Riley said you were in, Jason.
Oh, yes, Joe, come in. How is Jen doing?
In some ways, fine. I'd like to schedule Jen's neurological test for tomorrow.
Joe, do me a favor and put it off until after Christmas.
Why do you want to wait?
Well, you say she's getting better all the time.
Yes, but we should know what area she needs help in.
Well, it won't hurt her in any way to put him off, will it?
No, it just doesn't make any sense. She's here in the hospital now.
Yes, I know, Joe. I'd like to see her get a little stronger before we test her. And I think it'll be better for Emily, too. She wants to get Jen home with her.
Oh, I see. Jason, you aren't concerned about having Emily come in contact with a neurologist, are you?
Why do you say that?
Well, I know Dr. Zawa is a neurosurgeon, and he's the consultant on your wife's case. And there seems to be some delay in getting his diagnosis, isn't there?
Joe, please just worry about Jennifer for now, will you? Just one thing at a time.
Julie, I haven't tapped it in some years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
I feel very fortunate, Jason.
Well, I'm sure you do, Caroline, but is there any special reason?
Well, I know how busy you are, and having lunch with you is a treat.
Well, thank you. We should do it more often. I enjoy showing off my glamorous stepmother.
Oh, I certainly was lucky when I married your father. I got two more wonderful children, grown up, to be sure, and three remarkable grandchildren.
Well, I thank you. And how is Lynn, by the way?
I'm a little worried about her.
Oh, really? What's the matter? I thought she and Kurt were still sort of honeymooning.
Oh, Kurt seems to be having difficulties in getting his business established.
What's he trying to do?
He plans to be a manufacturer's representative for some lines of ski clothes and equipment.
Oh, well, as a former ski instructor, he should do very well at it.
Yes, but there seem to be some snags.
Well, that shouldn't bother Lynn too much, should it?
No. No, not really, but she wants to move into an apartment of their own, and Kurt wants to wait until he's got the business going.
Well, that makes sense.
I thought if Lynn had something to keep her busy, she might not worry so much about it.
Oh. Well, she did all that research on getting a hospital newsletter going at Jefferson, but then she got married.
Do you still want to go ahead with it?
Oh, yes, very much.
Well, I think she's been thinking about it, too.
Well, I'd give her a call, and I wanted to ask her if she'd like to write up the story of Jennifer's rescue and maybe try to place it in one of the Chicago newspapers.
Oh, Jason, do you want the publicity?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, I'd ask her to leave out the names.
Well, then why?
Well, it's an important story, Caroline, because people should know not to give up in cases of long submersion, particularly when it's a child, and also when cold is a factor.
I see. Of course.
And Lynn still has newspaper connections, and I imagine he'd be interested in that story.
Well, it certainly is dramatic. Rescue and revival after 45 minutes underwater.
Mm.
Oh, how did you know it was that long?
Well, two reasons, Caroline. You see, her wristwatch had stopped, and when we were able to take her temperature in the hospital, it was down to 75 degrees, indicating she'd been in the water all that time.
Well, it's still hard to believe.
Yes. Oh, I wanted to thank you for taking care of Helen Anthony while we were gone.
It was a pleasure, Jason. She's a very attractive woman.
Yes, isn't she?
When is she going back to Brixton?
Soon, I think.
I hope so.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't really think it's a good idea to have a former girlfriend around so much.
Oh, Caroline, that was 20 years ago.
I know, but sometimes things have a way of reviving themselves.
You know, sometimes I think women are hopeless romantics.
I'm not very nice.
No,
hi.
Not at all, darling. Hi.
Oh, Caroline, Jen was so glad to see you. I hope Robert can come by soon.
She will be going home in a day or two, won't she?
Well, yes, but I think it helps her to see people she knows. Her memory seems to be filling in.
I'll tell Robert.
Joe thinks she'll make a rapid recovery at home.
Well, when is he scheduled the test for?
Well, I suggested we wait until after the holidays, darling.
Well, why?
Well, I'd like to see her make some sort of comeback on her own. In the hospital's no place for a child around the holidays.
Well, that's true. She remembers what she was making you for Christmas, and she wants to get on with it.
Oh, really? What is it?
What do you think I'd tell you and spoil the surprise?
Yes, Christmas is the time when we all have our secrets, Jason. You know that.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less? To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.